I bet my bottom dollar a lot of you have heard this tune recently. Yes, through the screaming and the tears, you know it's Pomp and Circumstance, the graduation song in our country at the moment. In this case, it's being played for students graduating from a kindergarten in Texas. Yep, kindergarten. The song's official name is Pomp and Circumstance March No. 1, and it is by Edward Elgar. But where did it come from, and how did it come to be so closely tied to graduations and commencements? Our resident history guy, Chris Wolf, started asking his own questions about this after hearing the song at a friend's preschool ceremony last week. They play it everywhere, Chris. Why so curious, though, about the song? What sparked it?
Well, a little shout-out to little Eddie Clark in Concord, Mass. For inspiring this story.
Congratulations, Eddie.
I mean, I was just astonished, thinking, why are you playing this song at a graduation ceremony? What's this got to do with students or America or anything? This is an English patriotic song. And that's what really struck me, to any other Englishman or woman. It's one of the most stirring patriotic songs in the panoply of English music. So much so that I can't hear it without my chest puffing out and the hairs standing to attention on the back of my neck.
Wow. Okay. Clearly you have not been to a graduation ceremony in the United States. What's with the patriotism in this song? Where does that come from?
Well, it's so patriotic that for a long time people have been lobbying for it to actually replace God Save the Queen as the national anthem. It's that big. And even is played at certain sporting events where England's playing instead of the UK, and everyone sings along.
Sings along. There are lyrics?
Absolutely. Stirring patriotic stuff. We call it Land of Hope and Glory. And here's a blast from a hugely popular concert held every year called Last Night of the Proms.
What are they singing here? I can't hear a thing.
Land of Hope and Glory, Mother of the Free, how shall we extol thee, those born of thee? Wider still and wider shall thy bounds be set. God who made thee mighty, make thee mightier yet.
Wow. I thought England got out of India a long time ago. This is kind of imperialistic. It's still sung, though.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was written by Elgar in 1901. British Empire's at its height. Queen Victoria was still on the throne. Her heir, the young Edward, loved it. And he suggested to Elgar that they add some words to it and maybe use it in his coronation ceremony, which they did. So Elgar teamed up with poet Arthur Benson. I even found a recording of Dame Clara Butt, who was the first person to perform this song ahead of the King's coronation in 1902.
Fits perfectly with my image of all these young men marching off to World War I. It kind of makes me think, though, back to what I was asking earlier. I mean, I kind of thought Brits were a little embarrassed by the whole imperial experiment, and they're still singing this.
Yes, of course. Yeah, now lots of Brits who are descended from the countries that were conquered by the Empire are not too enthusiastic about the song. Same with the Irish and the Scots to some extent. And I'm sure most of those who are singing and waving the flag at the last night of the proms would be appalled at the idea of reviving the Empire. But it's kind of this little one window, this excuse for nostalgia and pride and kind of a nationalism that you're not really supposed to have, but still there's a little bit of it still there.
Do Brits play this at graduation ceremonies in Great Britain?
Oh, God, no. No, I mean, that would be, people would be scratching their heads thinking, what on earth is this song being played for? It would make no sense at all.
So how on earth did this song become the graduation march in America?
Was a simple explanation. Edward Elgar was friends with an American music professor called Samuel Sanford, who was a professor at Yale, and he invited his friend to Yale to receive an honorary doctorate in 1905. So Elgar came, and Sanford had arranged for Pomp and Circumstance to be played as the recessional from the ceremony, and it was such a huge hit that Yale adopted it, and from there it spread out throughout the rest of the country. Elgar himself recognized what a stirring melody it is, saying, you know, this is a tune that comes once in a lifetime.
The World's One Man History Desk, Chris Wolf, thank you.
You're welcome.